I'm Paul Wiegraff, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts and your host for today. Joining me by phone today are two representatives of the Newark Symphony Orchestra, the current president, Jack Bartley, and past president and musician, Anna Montejo. Welcome, Jack and Anna. Thanks for joining us. So glad to have you with us today. The Newark Symphony has quite a history going back, I believe, to 1966. What I'd love to do for our listeners today is to hear from the two of you about the Newark Symphony, its origins, how it got started, how it's evolved over time, some of its milestones, and to take a look at its role in the cultural community, not only of Newark, but really of much of Northern Delaware. So let's start there. How did the Newark Symphony Orchestra get started?
Well, it was started originally. The first conductor was Harley Hastings, and you're correct, it was 1966. And the first types of concerts and things was more like a Boston Pops type of orchestra. Mm-hmm. And it continued on like that for some time. I became more aware of it after the next musical director came in, who was Roman Polaski, because that's when my wife became involved with the orchestra. She plays viola. And he started to take the orchestra in a newer direction in terms of really serious classical music. And I think that was a huge period of growth for the orchestra, where they really came into their own as classical musicians and really challenging pieces for the community. Anna, when did you join in? Anna, I'm not even sure about that.
Sure. So I first came across Newark Symphony while I was a student at University of Delaware, and I graduated in 1995. So throughout my time at the University of Delaware, the music department did not have an orchestra. And so my oboe instructor introduced me to Newark Symphony, and really it's just been a very meaningful group for me, you know, being with them over 25 years. And so there's many of my peers within the orchestra who come from that era. And so it's provided a wonderful, you know, ensemble for all of us as playing musicians. Now, one thing I was just going to add in as far as part of the origin, you know, even as we went past Harley's era and into Roman's, throughout it all, one thing the group has done is we have had this annual youth competition. So not only growing as this ensemble and the type of programming we, you know, the music we offer our audience, but there has been a very long history of our outreach, you know, growing other musicians and how we collaborate with the young musicians.
And that goes back for more than 30 years, I believe, according to your website.
More
That's
so.
Correct.
I think we're edging closer to the 50 mark, you know.
Wow.
So there was a lady, Mildred Gaddis, I believe, who had a long history, you know, with the university as well. So, there's a long tenure there.
Now, talk a little bit about how that youth concerto competition works, because I think it's really an exciting program.
It is an exciting program, and what happens is that they come in for auditions, and there is a panel of judges who critique and evaluate what the performances are like. And then one from the high school level and one from a college level are selected to perform with the orchestra, typically in our spring concert time period. This year we actually had a tie for our high school competition winner, so we actually had three performers for this one. Unfortunately, one of them could not make it this year. But the level of performance quality from these young individuals is absolutely incredible, and they deliver some of the finest performances in terms of solo types of performances through a concerto that I've ever heard.
Now, where do you draw these students from the high schools and colleges, and how does word get out about that?
Anna, you want to take that one?
Yeah. It's really the surrounding, you know, all throughout the state of Delaware. It does cross into Maryland at times, and Pennsylvania, you know, driven by music, you know, educators, instructors that overlap with us. So it varies. You know, I think at most we may have up to 20 total students who audition. It's been a steady. I can't think of one year in all the years I played where I was not in awe.
Yeah, yeah.
Any of these performers, you know.
Now,
yeah, one of our competition winners this year was all the way from Radnor, which is where actually I originated from. I went to Radnor High School in Pennsylvania. Uh-huh. And another performer was homeschooled.
Okay.
So
okay.
The word does get out through a variety of different ways. For instance, the Music School of Delaware
kind
of helps us to publicize this.
That's great. Well, it's a really wonderful opportunity for young students who are learning instruments to have that opportunity in an orchestral setting. Let's turn to sort of the membership of the orchestra. Where do you draw your musicians from? What's the range of musicians in age and background? And how has that evolved over time?
It's always a challenge, I think, to constantly renew, you know, the members of the orchestra. People move and come and go in age, of course. We have had high school performers as regular members of our orchestra, and people all the way up into older than me, and that's pretty old. some people have come down from Philadelphia on a regular basis. They live in Philadelphia and make the commute to be performers here. Most of the performers are from our local area, from the Wilmington, Newark, and Maryland area.
In southern Delaware, we have some who travel from the Smyrna, Dover area. Yeah, and just to add on, I mean, we have members who were really here since the beginning. You know, they stretch that many decades, and each year we're very fortunate that we do get to see a new face. The youngest tend to be somewhere in the high school if they're available.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
their schedules are always a challenge, and typically those musicians, like many of us, we're playing in other ensembles too. This is all community. Everybody's volunteering their time, and so the group we get our season started in September and go towards the end of May into early June, and so. We are rehearsing once a week, if not twice a week, for those who also participate in our chamber series.
Mm-hmm. Are there particular sections of the orchestra that are more challenging to keep filled than others?
What would you say to that, Anna? I'm not sure about that.
I think it just kind of goes through waves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I'll give an example, maybe like in a lower strings. We have a lesser count, you know, maybe you have two bass players rather than four.
Right.
You know, so sometimes in those areas, we've been very fortunate. Our string section the upper strings have been very healthy. And our winds and brass, you know, we've had steady members in there plus new members. We've lost, you know, some members, you know, for the age of our community group, you know, we have had some members who have passed, and in some ways it's been very rewarding to be able to reflect and remember them, you know, through our music and mm-hmm. recognize them for their time, being with the orchestra.
So when vacancies occur, do you audition or how do you recruit new members?
A lot of times it's come from people who know other people who play music.
Okay.
So members of the orchestra will reach out to people that they know. They might be playing in another ensemble with them. I teach at the University of Delaware. When I notice that there's musicians in my classroom, I try and convince them to come out and try out for the orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've had some good horn players from the university and percussionists from the university. So it really is a team effort trying to recruit people in for the orchestra membership.
Well, that will segue into my next question, but let me first remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guests joining us by phone today are representatives from the Newark Symphony Orchestra, the current president, Jack Bartley, and past president, Anna Montejo. Talking about the university and this Newark Symphony is situated in a university town. Anna, you mentioned that when you started with the orchestra, there was no orchestra with the university. There is now, and quite an extensive music program. I'm curious how that has impacted the role of the Newark Symphony Orchestra.
Anna, do you want to answer that one?
Yeah, sure.
Since you were part of the university crowd there.
Absolutely. Well, in some ways, one impact, we do conflict on Tuesday night rehearsals, so it's been a little bit harder, to recruit some of those great musicians. But we, certainly are a great feeder as they graduate and want to continue. Many of these musicians may be graduating with other degrees and other careers, and that's so true, for all of our volunteer musicians. It's not like we're all sitting there as music educators. We come from all professions.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're a great, outlet for them to, carry on as musicians. And again, going back to the youth competition,
mm-hmm.
We have had many college winners coming out of
right.
University of Delaware,
right.
So they have definitely taken advantage of that platform. So we're really getting some higher quality, musicians, for all the growth coming out of the University Delaware music program.
Yeah.
We are definitely benefiting with stronger musicians working with us.
Well, that's great. Go ahead, Jack.
I wanted to say that our relationship with the University of Delaware has been fantastic. For many years, we performed at Loudis, and
mm-hmm.
Our music library currently resides with the music library of the University of Delaware.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great.
So they've also been helping us lately with access to finding sources of money through grants, and so that's been our latest collaboration there.
Great, good. Well, let's take a look at what the shape of a season looks like for the Newark Symphony Orchestra. Now, you have the full orchestra, you have a chamber series, you've got family concerts. What in putting together a season, how does that work, and how do you sort of schedule your musicians through these various performance groups?
We have a committee within the board of directors who meet on a regular basis to plan out the upcoming years, and is planned out quite a bit ahead of time, more than 2 years, sometimes 3 years ahead of time, to make sure that everything is in alignment in terms of recruiting people who are going to be concerto performers, who may be guest performers, getting the venues set up ahead of time. So typically we have four whole symphonic concerts, and they are currently being held at the Independent School. And our chamber series, we have three chamber series, and they are typically held right on Main Street at the Methodist Church, which is a beautiful venue for chamber concerts. Early on in the season, before the so-called official season starts, we have a family concert, and this year it's been transformed a bit to a pops concert. And it's always music that's I think more accessible to a wider range of people, and it gets people interested in what the orchestra is doing and then sort of invites them in to hear some more. These are very accessible concerts. In the family concert structure, it is free thanks to a grant from the City of Newark. And also this year, the Pops is free for people under 18 and just a nominal charge of $10 for those over 18. To come here and some really interesting music. I think it's going to be a very exciting concert.
Well, that's great. And before I forget to give you a plug, to learn more about the Newark Symphony Orchestra and your upcoming season, I invite our listeners to visit your website, and that is pretty easy to remember. It's newarksymphony.org, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, good. Want to make sure I got that right. Let's turn to your artistic team, because I went to your website before going on the air. You have some very impressive musicians involved in your artistic team.
Yes, we do. Also some impressive conductors as well. We have Simeone Tartaglione, who is our maestro, our musical director and conductor on a regular basis, who has tremendous vision for where this orchestra is going, I think. Our principal guest conductor is Rebecca O'Brien, who conducted our chamber concert series. The last one I heard was one of the most phenomenal performances I have ever heard from our chamber orchestra, and she really brought out the best in the musicians there, I thought. Annie, you were part of that too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we're very fortunate with each season of the soloists we invite in. There's a lot of work from our programming committee. It's definitely a challenge. We're nonprofit, all volunteer, and trying to pick music that doesn't break the budget, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Because not only may the music have expenses, but also filling all the parts. We are volunteer-based, but occasionally you cross lines and you need other musicians just so that you can perform that particular piece. It may have certain, calls within the percussion. It just varies.
Sure.
I do really commend our program committee, so how creative they get for these selections. This Pops concert we're doing, they invited a whistler. We have a national or international champion whistler. It's very unusual. In past seasons, we had a guest pianist, international Italian soloist.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's really a treat, not just for our audience, but as a member, as a musician of this orchestra. The music I make with my peers, but also the opportunities working with these guest soloists.
Now, Anna,
lot of the guest performers are invited by Simeone and other members, and they will come and perform with our volunteer orchestra because they believe in what we're doing, and they will not have fees that are commensurate with what they would be normally getting if they're playing with a fully professional orchestra. So we're very grateful for them to, giving their time and their talent to perform with our orchestral members.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know of Simeone's background. He's a music educator as well. Does that come into play in the selection of pieces for the orchestra's to perform so that the musicians are continually growing in their performance abilities?
Absolutely. I think the diversity of the music that Simeone is instrumental, shall we say, in selecting for our orchestra to play really contributes to the growth of the orchestra and the individual performers within the orchestra.
And what does the preparation look like for an upcoming concert? What's the rehearsal schedule, and what are the demands on the musicians, the members of the orchestra?
Anna, you could probably, since you're in the middle, right in the thick of this one.
Yeah, and I do play oboe, so I got to get there and tune the orchestra too. So typically with our symphony series, those are four concerts within like October, December, March, and May. And we will rehearse on average about 8 weekly rehearsals leading up to that concert date, and then also your dress rehearsal. So it is that weekly commitment. We are fortunate that we also supplement some of those weekly rehearsals as sectionals. And so we do, we try to budget and invite in sectional coaches. So these are other, music professionals who come and work with us. And I think that makes a big difference in our preparation, to get to the concert. So the chamber series is handled a little bit differently because the way that's programmed, it is quite different for between all three of them. We do one with that includes a choir. So putting those type of rehearsals together is a little bit more involved than another chamber where we may feature individual groups. Like, for example, I played in a woodwind quintet, so our rehearsals were handled on our own. I think one time I added up all the hours, you know, as my role as president in the past and trying to, you know, describe what it is that we do. And I apologize, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but when you multiply out the total number of musicians and the hours invested, it's quite a lot.
I was going to say, it's not just a bunch of people getting together to play some songs. There's a real commitment here.
Yeah, these are like, you know, especially, you know, symphonies are like movies. You know, there's a lot of storytelling, and there's, you know, it's not just, you know, reading these notes on the page. It's also trying to understand the story and what we're trying to present. And that takes work and a lot of musicianship between all the sections and the trust that we need to have with our music director.
Right. Well, we have just about 45 seconds left, but I have to ask this question, Anna, as an oboist, for our listeners. Why does the orchestra tune to the oboe?
Well, I've heard many different reasons, but I'll state it's the tone, the sound the oboe projects is the most, from what I understand, closest in voice. I think it's easiest for the varying instruments to align itself to the tone of the oboe.
Okay. And on that note, I'm afraid we're running out of time. So again, Jack Bartley and Anna Montejo, thank you for joining us to talk about the Newark Symphony Orchestra. I invite our listeners to check it out at newarksymphony.org.